Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello, this is Almeen, and we are ready for another hour show together. And I don't have anyone asking questions today. Sometimes they're available and sometimes they're not. And when they are, we go interesting places because I never know where they're going to lead me. But my brothers and sisters, it's just you and me. And so I will answer some things that have been coming into our email that I have seen certainly in the office lately. And one of these has to do with an increased number of dreams that I saw during last week from various of my students, that their children had dreams and they had dreams of dead bodies lying around. And they were very concerned that a massive catastrophe and so forth would be coming, and what could they do about it. So that which they dreamt, I took to mother and asked her what was happening, because also the oracles in the many different sacred orders that have been established around the earth to safeguard these holy libraries were receiving pleas of help. Please help us, set us free, tell the mother, our time is short, and so forth. So somebody was trying to get some assistance, and at the same time, it was clear that there could be a catastrophe if they didn't. So, to show you how nothing is as it seems. Some of my students were frantically saying, you know, take us as a bridge of light, you know, take us as a sacrifice if needs be, but save these people. And I said to them when I heard this, please be aware that as the immortal masters on earth today, which they are, you are some of the most precious beings. It's the same to you, my brothers and sisters. You are the major light workers on earth, or you wouldn't be here in this show with me today. The point is that you are some of the most precious beings that there are. The major light workers on earth today are some of Mother and Father's very first creations. The earth is the cradle of civilization, and that is brought out quite clearly in the Isis Mysteries, which is in opening the doors of heaven, that she's where everything began from. That's why Mother is here. And that's why the major light workers, as Mother and Father's first children, are here. So something that precious has trillions of times more light if we could but see with extended vision. The more subtle light, it would look like the sun against a glowworm. The major light workers compare to some beings that have, until very recently, resided on Earth. Now, be careful, therefore, the martyrdom days are over. The greatest service that light workers can offer is, in fact, to thrive. Opposite light and energy are currently attracting one another. And this attraction of opposite light and opposite energy has the effect that when you thrive, it goes to the places on earth, the light and the love that you generate from that goes to the places on earth where it is the most needed. It is not necessary for you to stay amongst those of lesser light. Letting your own light become less is not a service. So the explanation of what happened is what I want to share with you. And the purpose for this is this magnificent demonstration that life is never as it seems. All we know when confronted with things is that we don't know. So on April the 4th, in this 2008, The Master Ifa, she's one of the oracles of Toronto from Eastern Europe, oracle of the Sacred Order of the Serpent, experienced a vision in which she heard that a group of people were getting ready for a journey during which 60% will be lost, which would be the older ones. She also saw a group of smaller humans, about 5 foot or so, men and women, and a little smaller even, and children, walking very fast. In the vision, they walked from her right to the left. Then we had the oracle from the Order of the Serpent Mound recount the following that occurred on April the 5th in 2008. I allowed the languages. I saw the entire Order of the Serpent Mound join into one energy field, and we were calling and awakening our family, drawing them to us. Then a new voice and language came through, and I felt a wise woman energy, and there were children sitting around me. I was teaching them. This energy left, and then a new one came through that was very challenging for me. I was being told a story and shown two spheres of light, and between them were those that were stuck. I could feel their fear, their desperate plea for mother to bring them home. We overlooked something within us, something within mother needed to be healed. I began writing a frantic email to you, for you, and that she's speaking now to me, to locate them and bring them home. As I went to send the email, my page erased and I got an error message. What happened? And then they were gone. The fear was gone. Now, one of the oracles of the Sacred Order of the White Rose in Ireland simultaneously was contacting me with much urgency from Ireland, saying that souls were trapped, they wanted to get out. Then the Master Dawn of the Order of the White Dove had a dream she knew I had to hear about. Rats, which were secrets, and black cats, which in the dream language stands for black magic, in the basement, that means something is hidden, people don't know about it, had to be exterminated. So with this information, on the 5th of April, I left to find the lost ones. I found them in between dimensions in a pocket of space inside our sun. When pockets of life exist between dimensions, it is like a blister between two layers of skin. In a place it does not belong. The nausea I felt as I encountered them was quite horrible. I was in the presence of extreme black magic and density. Hence the rats, which are the secrets, and the black cats in the dream. Something an interdimensional pocket would have isolated from the otherwise very sensitive oracles of the orders. In other words, they wouldn't have felt the density because, you know, you can feel interdimensionally, but when something's in a pocket between dimensions, it's very much harder to get a feel for it. And the oracles were very sensitive, but they couldn't pick up how dense these beings were. What puzzled me was the following. See, firstly, Mother had commanded that no pocket of space could hide anything dense. Therefore, I knew that for something like this to have happened, the Master Holly was accurate. Something within Mother must have been overlooked. See, she's been waking up slowly but surely from having gone into this deep forgetfulness because of wanting to isolate the threads of the tapestry in order to understand through experiential knowledge portions of her being that she didn't previously know of. So as she awakens, it is possible that things are overlooked in this awakening because mother has no memory of everything that she put to sleep or everything that has happened. And the interesting thing of it is, in one of the libraries, it pointed out that when cycles of descension don't work out, mother erases them and starts over. But in erasing these old patterns that don't work so that they don't contaminate the new, she also erases every memory. So things have had to be puzzled out by her physical children because it is in the physical where the unknown and the known meets. So secondly, I have stood in the night in the Hohokam village. Now, the Hohokam lived approximately in the same area as what we know as the Anasazi. But I had stood in the night in the Hohokam village ruins outside of Phoenix, and I had been sure they had left through a tunnel. Their black magic would now be entirely ineffective. The beings I found in between the dimensions inside the sun were the Hohokam. So in other words, Mother has said that black magic will no longer work anywhere in the cosmos. So their black magic that took them through a tunnel, because when I was there, I got the impression they had left through a tunnel. In fact, I saw them standing in that village, but it was not they were really there. It was a psychic impression. I could see into the past. I was picking up when they had been there. But I was sure that they had left through a tunnel, but their black magic would now be entirely ineffective. Mother had taken away its ability to work. No wonder they were trapped. See, they found a way to get there, to escape something or another, but they didn't get back out again. But how did they think they could survive in the new pure cosmic reality? Black magicians are gone. Or were they isolated enough they did not know about the ascension? And so I went to ask Mother all these things. And Mother answered, she says, yes, they left in 1457, according to your very incorrect calendar, and have been isolated enough not to know about the cosmic changes. So in other words, they thought they could just come right back home again, continue with their black magic, and we were all still in that same old density in which those things have power. So I asked, Mother, however did they survive the cosmic purgings? And Mother answered, you have correctly surmised it. There was a small bit of brain fluid displaced in my brain. This situation mirrored that. In other words, they were kept alive so Mother would ask the right questions so she would find that there was this tiny bit of displacement in her brain that had to be repaired. Now, brothers and sisters, I just want to reiterate that Mother's physicality is made from the same building blocks as ours. She generated those building blocks. Her physicality is made from something quite different. I don't know what yet. So I said, Mother, are there any of those souls, the Hohokam, worthy of life at this point? And Mother said, no. They will have to be reabsorbed back into the sea of life. It is very uncomfortable for the sun, which, of course, is representative of the electrical or the brain. Let's see what it is that Mother's just said. It's fascinating. She said that the reason that they were kept alive versus some other pocket is that the sun is representative of the brain. And it was to mirror to Mother that she had to look in her brain for something that was displaced in her body. They were displaced into the sun. Now, let's look at the oracle that saw the two spheres with them in between the two spheres. Planetary bodies and suns are, in fact, hollow. And this, Mother has not said, I have not accessed This was told to me by the Andromedans when I was on and off their ship over a 5-day period with 4 of the masters in my classes over a week period. If we assume that they're correct, then they all are. But the sun certainly is hollow, as is the earth. It has a small bright sun in the middle, and it has a crust around the outside. If you look with extended vision, or you're in higher dimensions, the sun is not a fiery inferno. It is, in fact, like a planet that glows, but that's only at very higher dimensions. The beings can actually live on a sun if they're in higher dimensions, because it's only for the lower dimensions that it appears as it does. They were in this pocket of space, and it was literally between two spheres. It was between the outer crust of the sun and the inner little bright ball of the sun. And so, my brothers and sisters, it's the end of the Hokum. Let's take a short commercial break, and we will be back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
There are two things that we want to cover in this segment that you have asked us in various letters. And one of them has to do with the book Aruba Firina, and some of you wanted more explanations of exactly what was going on there in those photographs that we were able to photograph interdimensionally. So I wanted, I've asked that a book be given to me, and I have it here in front of me, and I want to go through with you on some of those photographs. So if you happen to have your Aruba Firina book, which is the book of fairy magic, handy, you can certainly go to the colored pictures and flip through it with us, and I will explain some of it. My brothers and sisters, these images were taken with 3 different cameras. They were taken into the next dimension. It was the time of the tremendous restoration of fairy life on Earth. With it, nature's restoration is not far behind. This occurred. They gave me only 1 week in which I could write down their secrets and film into their world. So I had from approximately, I think it started the 11th of November, if that's a Monday, in 2006, for 1 week, 5 days. I worked through the night on multiple levels. I had 9 masters there with me that worked as well on capturing as much as we could. Why did it have to be that? that week, and why only a week, is what some of you have asked, and then we'll discuss some of these images. Well, if you read, and see, at that point, I didn't know it, because I hadn't yet received the gift of the unicorns. It only came a month later. But a month later, when the gift of the unicorns came, and during the second part, when the race of beings known as the Darklings, the history keepers of the cosmos, gave me the history of the cosmos, I understood better what was going on in this week. And what had happened is that as the planet did not originate in the solar system. As the planet started in other solar systems, such as Arcturus, such as Lyra, such as Andromeda, it was on a journey. And every time it was repelled away from a star system, it either tore a membrane, which spilled all of life into a lower level, and Mother quickly put a fence around, so to speak, or it shot away and brought a lowering of consciousness throughout the cosmos, because the Earth always has been a very major pivot point. So when this happened, there would be a fall. Mother could see ahead when a fall would be coming, and she knew that another little portion of her mind would go to sleep. And so she left fairies on these different planets, hid them, and she gave them codes of creation in a gem to safeguard. In this week, all of those fairies that originated from Earth that had been left on these other planetary systems returned to Earth. As they all returned to Earth, they gathered around us at times. I believe we have a picture of this. At times, the room was so thick with I guess it's one of the photos I have that didn't make it into the book, but it certainly shows them outside the window, because not all of them could even come in. We were on the 10th floor of the York Hotel in Toronto when this happened, and a lot of these photos, like of hands of the alien, of beings standing outside the window, were taken from a 10th story, and these fairies and the alien, there's an alien hand on the outside of our window that's glowing, that we took with the camera. And that actually, he's standing out in the air, because we're on the 10th floor. You can see on color plate 7 the dense cloud of fairies that gathered outside of the window. When they were in the room, and I have photos of that, just, you know, we couldn't put all of it in the book. It's, pushes the book price so high when there's so much color in it, and we wanted to make it accessible. But I have the photo of the room. The room was so thick with fairies, we felt like we could swim through it. In fact, it felt more comfortable to crawl along the floor, because the fairies started about 2 feet above the floor in this dense cloud, and it felt uncomfortable to walk through it. And also, you know, we were concerned about causing them distress. So that's how thickly the fairies gathered. A group of fairies would come in, gather in the room, and then they would leave. And although they did not want me to say it in the book at that time, they were gathering into a massive cavern inside the crust of the Earth, because they were reuniting after eons of being separated. And so they would gather with us, give us their information, then they would leave, the room would totally empty, and then within hours, as we're trying to catch up everything they gave us, within hours it would fill again, but with a different group that came in. Not all the groups of fairies look the same. If you look at color plate 16, which I think is really quite an important one to look at, it shows the Andromedan fairies. And the Andromedan fairies are as small as little peas. whereas the other fairies were about the size of tennis balls, and some of the fairies, specifically those that came from Venus, were about the size of a grapefruit. They were larger. These little Andromedan fairies had to be brought by angels, because when they came in from Andromeda, they were so tiny it would have taken, according to what they said to us, 300 years for them to get to us. It's important to see that photo of these little Andromedan fairies flying in a little formation, because I realized after I saw them that, you know, I'm seeing them in my room at night and so on since that time. I didn't see it before, but I've seen it since that time. And I realized that if I didn't have this photograph and if I didn't see them, I wouldn't know what I'm seeing. You know, this formation of brightly colored peas flying through my room, how am I going to explain that to people? Those are Andromedan fairies, and they fly often in formation. Not always, because we have got photos in here. For instance, we've got color plate 15, where I'm levitating off the ground. The candle in front of me is levitating, and this little Andromedan fairy is flying around my head, just one of them. And so sometimes they were flying very small little fairies like that, just one at a time. But the Andromedan fairies were the last to arrive, and the angels had to bring them, as I said, and they gave us a candle ceremony. They asked that we put 16 candles around us, which is the Prehina ceremony. And each candle is a secret of wisdom that pertains to our life that they wrote down for us. Well, we wrote it down. They gave to us. So that's why we had only 1 week, because it was the week that the fairies were restored to Earth. Everyone brought the gem that Mother had asked them to safeguard for her crown. Now, this is very important because one of the most magnificent photos in here that is getting brighter each month as we get closer to the time that Mother's reign on Earth will become visible to all, the crown in the book is changing. That crown is becoming brighter. There are more stones happening. For instance, there was a stone that was brought up from underneath the Dead Sea. There's a whole story around that, which I'm happy to share with you. But it's brought up from under the Dead Sea, which is another stone for Mother's crown. The stones contain the codes of existence. Now, as higher life and existence changes, new mathematical sequences are part of the creational matrix. What happens is that new stones are coming for her crown. The crown in color plate 11, that's between two of the masters, is becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. The gems were photographed separately. For instance, we have one here where we have a couple of the gems. The first gem brought from Lyra was safeguarded by the fairies of Lyra for eons, is an incredible, like a white diamond one. And the photograph, it is here. And then the blue gem that's brought from the Earth fairies from Lyra, two different fairy groups from Lyra, for Mother's crown. Both gems are now in Mother's crown. And then we have one of a hand holding part of the crown as it begins to be constructed. And then at the end of the week, the formed crown was able to be photographed. But the gems that they brought were on planets, and on those planets, Mother had also put the chakras of the cosmos. At the end of that week, she called in all of the chakras of the cosmos to be housed here on Earth. And Earth started to look with the glow that was on it, with Mother growing brightly, the fairies that have come back, all the cosmic life centers of the body of the cosmos back on Earth. It started to look like a central sun to the rest of the planetary systems in our cosmos. It became a very, very important part. As I said in previous shows, some of the shots are becoming very blurry. Things like there's a magnificent photograph of my head thrown back and I'm busy calling out the names of all of the Andromedan fairies in their language, which is a very hard language to pronounce, but a bright green, beautiful fairy hovered right in front of my forehead. I would say she's about 3 to 4 inches, if judging by my forehead. Her photograph is getting clearer and clearer. There are photographs that are getting indistinct. There's one of my disappearing. That photograph has always been indistinct. But there is one before that where one of the imposter gods kissed me. When we published it, the photographs that were sent to the publisher had a clear profile outline in a darker gray color. It had my face fully delineated. Over the months, the photo in my book has changed. Now there is a purple whorl because that god has totally ceased to exist. So that's the story of the Aruba Furina photographs. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000, in the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the premier CD set. They are available from Almin at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Well, my brothers and sisters, I wanted to move on to the zero-point energy to explain to you why Mother has removed it and about Big Bangs and implosions and things. But there is a little being here with a little voice that is quite persistent, that something wants to be communicated to us from the fairy language and the fairy realms. So if you bear with me and give me a moment, I will hear what it is that we are supposed to access. Hold on just a minute. Let me just get my notes because I will forget what I want to speak about when I get this expanded. Barish Ephrim, Pauruni Baram, Pakla Hurik Aratniim, Ukra Harach Nitihara Baisi, Tinima Ukmuvii, Abatahinich, Hutihya Tina Maushu, Sivihiki Ti Apauhina. Okay. I'm asking what her name is. She says, Firina Vaurim. Firina Va is hyphen, Firina dash Fa, S-A, Urim, U-R-E-E-M. That is her name. She says she has come to tell us that they are very excited. They have a new calendar. She says that their new calendar matches the new way that Mother is making life. So I'm asking her now if it is the new mathematical formula that is replacing the Fibonacci, the new mathematical sequence that's replacing the Fibonacci sequence as the sequence of life that I've been speaking of on the previous shows, which is 3, 7, 12, 20, 33, 54. I'm asking her if this new mathematical sequence has created a new calendar for them. Because, my brothers and sisters, if you look at the calendar given in the book of Arupa Firina, there is a fairy calendar given. When you start to analyze that fairy calendar, there are two spirals on there. And the calendar goes according to the spirals that's been put over a square of 324 days. And this is their year, and things happen according to those two spirals. So I'm asking her if there's a new spiral on there. Nipa ni vihata univimasta virim sriti nahurit epek nei ista viknepihi aviti panavivi. Mother has given a new spiral. Our birthdays have changed. You must look now for us at different heights, at different times of your day. It is new and not as it was before. I'm asking her what the effect of this on nature will be. Pinika tahi e nivi bi unuhu ana. It will be more durable and resilient. Man will not destroy our work so easily. Let me just ask if there's anything else that she wishes to tell us. She is saying that if you call her, she will visit your homes. So, my brothers and sisters, this most precious and unexpected interaction that we had here, the book Arupa Firina is very easy to underestimate because the tremendous power of the fairy realms. If I wrote it the way they gave it, their innocence and their purity and their childlike naivete and the little things that bring them joy and the way they speak, I have put it in the way they are. I've put their languages in because they're very proud of their languages. They are ancient. And the language that we just heard has not been written before, because it's from an Arcturian fairy. The Arcturian fairies came from Earth originally. They were left on Arcturus, according to the history in the Gift of the Unicorns, and under very specific circumstances. When the Arcturian fairies came back, they did not contribute to the Arupa Firina book. I believe we may have some of their names in here, but they would give us nothing. Because they said, if we give, no, we don't even have their names in the book. They came in and they said, if you want our magic, you have to write our whole book. a whole book, because they said, if we give you our magic, we have to give you everything. The other groups of fairies, you see, they gave some, but they didn't have to give everything. The other fairies that had that philosophy were the Andromedan fairies, and they had no magic after they gave us their wisdom, because they gave not only that, they gave bodies of magic. I have not even written down, but it's accessible to me. It sits above my head. And my brothers and sisters, the Arcturian fairies said, we cannot give you anything, because if we give you something, we have to give you everything. So they wouldn't give any of their magic, so they did not contribute to the Aruba Fairina book. So their language is not written down in that book, which I did write, every other fairy group's language, a little piece of it, just because they're so proud of their languages. And their childlike innocence makes it seem simplistic. The more you practice these things, the more powerful and potent they become. Do not underestimate what they gave us because of the childlike innocence in which it's conveyed. It's similar to this innocence that just came through. She's speaking tremendous wisdom. See, there's much hidden in the information of the fairy calendar in the Aruba Fairina book. It must be felt with the heart. And it was gently pointed out to me that it was rude to ask too many specifics. As I probed and probed and prodded for the information, I did, however, receive from them that the calendar is not just a calendar, it's a portal to access fairies. The symbols are frequencies. The higher, like every fairy day, has a symbol, you know, and some of these symbols repeat over and over, making a spiral. But it's either a day that has a starfish, or a day that has a caterpillar, or a day that has a snail, or a feather, or a little hand, or a turtle, or a leaf. And each one of those means it's different. Like a feather would have a higher frequency than a tortoise, you know, or a turtle. So these are frequencies. And so, my brothers and sisters, they are, in fact, portals. And where the frequency is, for instance, if there is a feather, you might look for them 40 or to 30 feet above the ground. If it's a tortoise, they may be 2 to 3 feet above the ground during that time when that particular symbol is the one on their calendar. And they wouldn't give me further information on that, but they said that we would feel it with our heart. These spirals that existed overlapping, once you start to join similar symbols together, I wish that I were a mathematician that could figure it out. But the new sequence that life is now being created from will create a third spiral overlapping over their calendar. And the excitement that this beautiful little one is feeling is that it will create so much more stability to life in nature that they work so diligently to create with their white, incorruptible magic. And, you know, man has slumbered and not realized the damage that they've done to their work. So they're saying it will be more durable. Let's take a break, and hopefully when we come back, we will speak about zero point.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse, Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The black holes that are formed in space have formed because there was a light so bright in that specific area, or somehow lights joined together and formed a light so bright that light, which attracts its opposite, attracted all lesser lights in the area and sucked it in. And when light is sucked into a larger light source, if you will, smaller lights go through that light source. And when they come out the other side, they go in a big bang. So big bangs actually happen as a result of dark holes. So when that happens, the force of it becomes so big that it eats up everything in its way. And the everything in its way that it eats up is that which I've often described as the soup that creates reality. The fields, which is the broth, and the vegetables in it, which are the building blocks. So the building blocks of life and the fields containing power, energy, awareness, light, love, perception, self-perception, these are fields. And then all the little subatomic particles in the various frequency levels or octaves that are the vegetables, if you will, in the soup broth. It just sucks it with it, shoots it out the other side, and what happens is a vacuum forms in Mother's being. And such a vacuum is what we call zero-point energy. Nature abhors a vacuum. It will not allow a vacuum to exist. I remember that we did high school studies on vacuums, that if you take something like a 5-gallon can and seal it and suck the air out of it and attach the sides to tremendous pressure on either side, nevertheless, that can, you know, and the pressure is pulling the sides of the can outward so it won't implode into the vacuum. Nevertheless, that can will implode, no matter how much the pressure you put on the outside from earthly things, because there is an entire atmosphere trying to get into the can because there is a vacuum. So any surrounding areas where this vacuum is not has a tremendous suction exerted on specifically its more refined parts, which are the fields. So what that means, my brothers and sisters, because we've spoken about it on the show before, and we have had questions, we don't quite understand what you mean by this. What it means is that where zero point exists, it sucks in the broth from around it. It sucks in power, energy, awareness. So anything existing close to zero point energy loses power, loses energy, loses awareness, and the others as well. So what we had until recently is that we had zero point energy. Those of you that do Merkabah work, you were taking the zero point energy, which some erroneously still thought existed in the belly button. In May of 2007, Mother moved that up to the heart. But that zero-point energy, they were doing breathing exercises to explode it out into the fields of the body. Well, zero-point disempowers because it will suck the power from the other areas. And Mother has, until recently, left it there. Again, it would seem like enormous error. And, of course, we can say that Mother fell asleep and didn't realize that this was the case. So she left it there, but it is, in fact, not an error, because from a higher ego's perspective, if we look down at it, we see that if she had not created this zero-point energy or forgotten that it robs of energy and power, the dark gods that were like the cosmic demons embodying and representing the massive illusion that existed during the ages when Mother fell asleep would have had far, far greater power. But it is like a fuse wire. It was meant to be there in case things went so far down that Mother would forget. And a lot of these things. And she did. So it was the fuse that had them in the God kingdom not wield as much negative power as they could have had zero-point energy not been present. Because as we've pointed out on previous shows, the zero-point energy existed in every being, sort of the size of a big soccer ball, but in gods, they live in it. Because this sphere explodes, what the life force center should be, explodes and surrounds all the bodies. Now, all zero-point energy has been filled with dense levels of that which it was without. So in other words, the broth. It's filled with power, awareness, life force, all these things. And so where your life force center is a dense containment area the size of a football field around the heart that contains all of these areas. People have been asking a lot about the Merkabah exercises, which works with the Star of David around the body and so on. They were very valid while those fields were there. But if you recall, a couple of things have happened. First of all, let's look at this three-dimensional Star of David that I believe it's Da Vinci and it's Michelangelo that drew the little man. I think it's Da Vinci that drew the little man, you know, in this sort of Star of David around the body. He was drawing the Merkabah. And we had fields like that during the fall. Because during the fall, geometry had angles and joints. As we started to ascend, and I believe this happened around maybe the end of 2005, beginning of 2006, the geometry of the cosmos changed from illusion-based geometry, and the around man, it changed likewise. We no longer had static fields of platonic solids. An octahedron, a tetrahedron. If you want to study the moving geometry that is called dynamic geometry in my book, Journey to the Heart of God, which I just touch on it, but I give in detail how the cosmos previously developed from this moving geometry in a series of tapes which is called Journey to the Heart of God, Level 4, I think it's called Flowers of the Heart. Those are not ones that are just available, but there are some audio materials available that we make for you if you want them. And so they are available by order only, and they are listed on our website. Flowers of the Heart in detail describes dynamic geometry and how I received it and so forth. So dynamic geometry was the next level. And then the fields around the body started to have light moving without angles, without joints. That yet again changed in 2008 when Mother eliminated duality and polarity, and she recognized that it was as a result of linear movement of light, that linear time was caused, and linear time always brought illusion. And so, as perpetrators seemed to raise their heads yet again in the first month and a half of 2008, Mother got it. As long as there is light traveling in lines the way our scientists still expect it to, and so for them it possibly does, but she created light as fields, and she created the transference of information, which light really is accessed information, where it's one of its definitions. We don't have adequate words. But as she created these fields of light, the transference of light is telepathic. And the transference of sound became empathic. Telepathically and empathically, I can hear someone's thoughts if I were to telepathically tune into them as they occur halfway around the world. It's instantaneous. And so, my brothers and sisters, it changed yet again. We have a field around the body. We have no shapes in that field. But we have the previous forms had functions. Those functions are overlaid in a unified field. So, you know, Mother has made it that well-meaning practitioners of various practices, that just doesn't work any longer. Otherwise, they would be doing harm. Mother has put in the Book of Life that that not be the case, that well-meaning practitioners cannot do harm by doing obsolete practices. So, you know, whether you feel like still doing the Rakaba or not, it's not going to do any harm. But it certainly won't do any good either, because it's obsolete. So thank you very, very much for joining us. We've had a wonderful hour together, I hope, and for me it was. And we'll be together again next week. Thank you.
Almeen concludes the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almeen. Please join us again next week.